This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Equestrian Legacy Radio is heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to the last Blessed Trails of 2014. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. Today we have a very special end-of-the-year show that I think should become a tradition, actually. We are going to be talking with Gary Holt, the originator of Equestrian Legacy Radio, the producer of this show, and someone who has quickly become a dear friend, even though we've never actually met in person. But first, I'd like to open with this song written by a very talented and precious lady, Joyce Woodson. It talks about one of the treasures in all of our lives, our friends, and it's called Palomino Pal.
My Palomino got a rock in his shoe. He couldn't walk like he used to. Got down from the saddle and turned him round. Took him back to the home corral. I curried him up and I watered him down. Got a hold of his hoof and cleaned it out. He wanted to thank me. I tried to explain as he nibbled my ear. I said, that's what a pal would do. Help you out when you're feeling blue. You do the same for me, it's true. Cause that's what a pal would do. Do the same for me, it's true, cause
that's what a pal would do.
And I love the line that says, to have a friend, you've got to be a friend. And that could not be more true of my guest today. And we are all going to find out a lot more about Gary during the course of this show. But I'd just like to say that over the last several months, I have come to deeply appreciate his wonderful can-do attitude, incredible patience, and his precious spirit. He's always so much fun to talk with. And I am delighted to welcome to the show Gary Holt.
Hey, Belinda, how are you?
I'm great. This is so much fun. The tables are kind of turned on you today, aren't they?
They are, and I'll have to admit I'm a little bit nervous. I'm used to interviewing and asking the questions, so this is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. I'm excited, actually, to learn a lot more about you. I found out a little bit here and there just in the course of us talking over the last several months, but I'm just really eager to learn a lot more about you, and so by your accent, you're definitely Southern. And so can you give it, which I love and envy, by the way, can you give us a little more background of, where were you raised and how you first came to know the Lord? Just some information like that. I would love to hear that.
All right. Well, I was born in Nashville, but grew up just about 45 miles east of Nashville in a little community with about actually the smallest county in the state of Tennessee as far as land mass, but with only about 3,000 people that were in the county at the time I was born 60 plus
wow.
years ago. And so I grew up in a rural lifestyle. My dad was in the retail business. He had the old 5 and 10 cent stores, so he had a couple of stores in Nashville, and we spent a lot of time growing up working in the stores. He didn't think it was good for us to not do something while we were kids, so we grew up working mm-hmm. in the store. But I guess a couple of my earliest memories, and it's just always been a part of my life, was the fact that Dad always had horses, so we grew up with horses, and we had our chores to do and at home as well as at the store. But the other part of that was always going to church. And so we grew up like a lot of folks did, Sunday morning and Sunday night and midweek Bible classes. And we learned to sing in church and become active in the song services. And then we grew up going around to what we just call singings, Sunday afternoons. A lot. Yeah. People don't do that so much today. But we grew up, yeah. and they kind of rotated, and little congregations throughout a certain number of counties would have Sunday afternoon singings. And, man, I'm telling you what, there were great singers, and a lot of our Sunday afternoons were spent doing that. When we weren't doing that, we were out on horseback with Dad. So that's
wow.
kind of the way that we grew up. And always involved in church. My dad was very active. He was not an official leader of the congregation where we attended, but everybody thought that he was because he was just such an outgoing, warm person. And so we just were involved that way and had him for a great example, and we always had a Christian mother that set a great example for us. So when I was 10 years old, there was a good family friend that came and led a revival, and I remember that it was at that point that I thought, you know, this is the time to commit. And I did at 10 and was baptized, and I think like a lot of young folks, you know, you were kind of in and out of your faith and kind of did some searching, and I think many of us still are on that journey. And for some reason, we've lost Belinda for just a second. So since I'm controlling this thing, we'll wait for her to call back in. And I think we'll go ahead and play one of the songs that she had scheduled for us. And that's one called Will There Be Horses in Heaven? So let's listen to that, and then Belinda will be back with us.
To bury my best horse last evening was the saddest thing I've ever done. We rode a lot of hard miles together. He was a big-hearted son of a gun. In the wake of his final few moments, I seem to say we'll meet again. And then in there I was faced with a question I've been wondering since I don't know when. Will there be horses in heaven? A place where all good horses go. Will the studs and the mares be running in pairs up there when he gathers his foe? Dear Lord, I'm sure needing to know. In my sorrow, I turn to the Bible, like my mom and dad taught me to do. And I read in the great revelation about the one who's called faithful and true. It is written that he and his armies on white horses will come back at last. And my heart sang for joy with the answer to a question all cowboys have asked. Will there be horses in heaven? A place where all good ponies go. Will the studs and the mares be running in pairs up there when he gathers his foe? Dear Lord, thanks for letting me know. Dear Lord, thanks for letting me know.
Oh, Belinda, that's a nice song. Go ahead.
It's a great song. That's by Mike Merritt, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about them later in the show. But when I lost you, I was just saying that I think that people were still, you know, a lot of folks were still searching for the Lord, and I looked up and I thought, oh, Belinda's gone looking. So.
I just gotta love all this technology, and when I called back in during the song, I was like, "This is wonderful having a radio host as my guest because you could just pick up the ball and run with it when I disappear. How cool is that?"
Oh gosh, well it's pretty neat, and I know we're gonna talk a little bit about a lot of things I know, and one of the things that's cool, and we'll talk about how you and I met and got all of this stuff going.
Yep.
But one of the joys is that I have the studio here, and so wherever you are, and you stay really busy with your schedule, so sometimes you're at home, sometimes you're not, and one of the neat things is that normally my mic is closed and I don't have to talk, and that's kind of fun, but I do get to open all the mics and start the music, so
yes,
yeah, it's a good thing.
You do a fabulous job doing that. In fact, this I am actually presently calling in through Skype from the LA Equestrian Center in Burbank, California, where Bob and I are going to be riding in an equestrian event that's associated with the Rose Parade called Equest. So we actually have our horses. I can look out my horse trailer window. We have living quarters in our horse trailer, and we're looking out at the horses, and so. Yeah, I caught, and you never know where I'm calling in from for my show. You're always in Nashville, but I'm all over the country when we're doing this radio show, so that's kind of fun.
Well, it is, and technology is amazing, and social media is pretty cool. I know that on Bob's homepage, if I'm not mistaken, there's a picture of the two of you riding a couple of Palominas in a parade somewhere.
We are, and that's who we ride. We're both members of the Long Beach Man of Police. In fact, my husband is the president of that, and so right now, and so we ride in parades with our Palominos. But I was especially delighted to have this song on the show because just a couple weeks ago, I lost my longtime beautiful little chestnut fox trotter mare Feather. She sand colicked, and we ended up losing her. But I just. You know, just as I was holding her head in my lap as we had to put her down, I was just thinking, I'm going to see you again, old girl. I'm going to see you again. So the Bible talks about horses in heaven, and I'm just loving that because we know we're going to see those favorite horses again.
Well, it's kind of a blessing to know that this is not all there is to life.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
It is. So now... You always had horses growing up, and it sounds like you've had horses most of your life. So how did the horses and the radio and all of that come together to create Equestrian Legacy Radio?
Well, it kind of goes back to growing up. Dad always had horses. I never remember him. Well, he had horses. I mean, he just had horses. Before I was born, he had horses. So he grew up with horses. And my dad was an encourager. And so... I was involved in 4-H. He encouraged us in that, my brothers and myself, and so I did a lot of public speaking. And I'll be quick about this, but I guess I was around 16 or so, maybe a junior in high school, and an older gentleman decided to build a radio station in our little town. And he knew that I had been involved in public speaking, and he called me up and he said, "Gary, would you like to be a DJ?" And I thought, well, that'd be pretty cool. You know, girls like DJs, so I'll do that. Yeah.
That was important at that age.
It was important at that age. And so I started out in a little radio station doing afternoons and some weekends while I was in high school, and then I moved to a larger station in Gallatin, Tennessee, and it happened that the fellow that really was the full-time disc jockey, because, you know, they'd pull long shifts, at the first station moved to Gallatin. And then later on, and his name is Buddy Sadler. Buddy was at WHIN in Gallatin, and I went to work over there for my senior year. And then he moved to Nashville and worked for WKDA, which was one of the larger stations in Nashville. And I went to a Christian college called David Lipscomb College. Now it's Lipscomb University.
And so I needed to continue to work because, you know, Dad made us pay for our stuff. And so I said, "Buddy, I need a job." And he said, "Well, let's do a demo and we'll see if we can get you on." And they offered me a midnight to six gig.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, that, yeah, and I said, that doesn't work for the girls or for schools. So that ended my radio career, but or at least at that time. So, but the horses were always there. And so in 2013, just this past year, I had become aware of online radio, and I thought, well, it would really be neat to kind of help the horse world out by doing a horse-type show. And so I had suggested that to actually to a breed registry, and everybody said, "Well, that's great." You know, I was on some committees and served in a couple of different committees, and but that's where it ended. And so a couple of months went by, and I thought, "Well, shoot, if you know if that's where it's going, I'll just do it myself." And so we started Equestrian Legacy Radio in May of 2013. And then it's amazing the way that the Lord works through things. In August, I thought, you know, I need to add something different to the show. And so I decided I would like to add some musical guests. And I was sitting around one day and I thought, well, gee, I think I'd like to have Michael Martin Murphy for my first guest. And was talking to one of my brothers, and I said, you know, I really would like to add musical guests to the show, and I'd love to have Michael Martin Murphy, because everybody knew Wildfire, you know. And he said, well, it just happens that one of the members of the congregation here is his publicist, so let me say something to him. And so he did. And so we put that together, and in September of 2013, we started adding musical guests on our Thursday show. And Lance Cowan is Michael Martin Murphy's publicist. And so I had a couple of other folks in the business that I wanted to call and have on, and I did. And he kept saying, you know, there's this R.W. Hampton somebody that you really ought to have on the show. And I said, okay, you know, send me some of his music. And I, you know, it didn't happen. And then Mary Kay was on. I had discovered Mary Kay, invited her on the show, and she said, Gary, she said, you really ought to have R.W. Hampton on the show and Bryn Hill. I said, this R.W., whatever his name, just keeps popping up. And so I had R.W. on. Of course, he's your brother. And you know, he and Lisa have become precious friends, and it's just amazing how things work. And so we added music on our Thursday show and called that the Campfire Cafe. And through that first visit with Michael Martin Murphy, he invited me to a concert he did in Nashville. And I met his granddaughter, who has a disease called brittle bone disease. Excuse me. And he had set up a foundation for her. And so I met Fiona and his son Ryan. And through the horse deal, I thought, you know, we need to help raise money for this. And so we did our first national trail ride in June of this year and raised some money. And through that, and that's the largest fundraising thing that they have for the foundation, have been able to help a couple of other kids, a cute little kid named Riker was just able to have some surgery due to the foundation and the money we raised, and we're planning on the second one. And so things just kind of intertwine. God works in strange and mysterious ways, and so that's a little bit about how this show came to be.
Well, I love how things like that fall in, and when it's God's plan, it's amazing how the pieces just fall into place. I mean, you have to make effort, but it seems like it's with very little effort to come into your life that you needed to know, and things just happen. So it's really cool. Now, talking about Michael Martin Murphy, this next song that we're going to play is one that he wrote, called Killpin.
He did. He did. And that's interesting again. And we'll talk about this some more in just a little bit. But Lance Cowan had sent a CD to me, and he said, here's some folks that I'd like to introduce you to. and you ought to have on your show. And so this was Mike and Doris Merritt, and it happened that Murph had written this song, and this was on Mike and Doris's CD called Detours, and they recorded this in Nashville. Murph was in town, and he came in and is doing a duet with Doris on this song.
Wow, that is so cool. Well, I love how these songs start out one way and twist another way. I love when songs do that, and that's one of them. So let's listen to Killpin.
All right, here we go.
I can see you've been raising babies in a pasture somewhere. They took away your baby, left you all alone, and then they stripped you of your pride, brought you here to the Cupid. Now they're bringing you into the auction ring. I can hear them say, how much will you give me, boy, to take this one away? It looks like she's got good bloodline. She's been left alone too long. Now she's going to the dogs in the kill pen. Here she's going gone. But I can read between the lines, girl. Tried to take my baby too. Tried to kill my spirit. I was treated just like you. Then they lied to strip me of my pride. Tried to shame me to my friends. Then a voice said, come and follow me. I'll get you out of this killpen.
Long ago there was an auction, and the auctioneer did say, how much will you give me, boys, to take this one away? And the prisoner had good bloodlines, but for me he was condemned. And he paid the price up on the cross and got me out of this kill pen. Can you read between the lines, friends? You and I are just the same. We're all afraid of trusting. Do not be ashamed. We've all been abandoned, but there's still tenderness within. Won't you come follow the one who'll buy you out of your kill pen? Long ago a child was born to buy you out of your kill pen.
That is the coolest twist on that song. I just really, really love that song. He really is interesting. Were you expecting that the first time you heard that twist at the
end? No. I listened to it and I thought, well, we're talking about, you know, killer market for horses, and all of a sudden it turns into a totally different meaning and thought, and it's such a cool song.
Oh, I really, really liked it. Well, I am so impressed with what you've done with your whole network, your radio network that you have now over the last year and a half, it sounds like, since you came to be in May of 2013, almost 2 years now. But you actually have added another show, another horse show. And I mean, just can you talk how you're just this whole network has evolved? And it's just, I think it's really interesting.
Well, I've been amazed at the audience that we developed. And we started out doing the show on Thursday at noon. And I picked the noon time, maybe because I like the sound of High Noon, you know, the old Gary Cooper movie.
Yeah.
But it, you know, people all across the United States can listen to the show at different times. It's a little earlier out on the West Coast and a little bit later in the East Coast. But over in Europe, it's 7 o'clock in the evening in Germany. And so we developed an audience in Europe as well, and Australia and South Africa. And it's just amazing the way that this thing kind of picked up. And then I had a conversation with someone that had been on my show, and they kind of stayed in touch. And, you know, 90% of the people that are riding horses today are trail riders or just pleasure riders. And so we decided to do a show called Saddle Up America, and that's pretty much dedicated to trail riders. And so it's kind of a combination of information that's important for trail riders to have and a travel show combined, because we have the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America that's on 1 week a month, and another trail expert that's on another week, and then the editor of Trailblazer magazine, not the editor but the publisher and owner. And so we have some really interesting guests, and then we visit guest ranches and campgrounds all across North America. So that show has taken off, and like all new shows, it takes a little bit for it to get its legs under it and for people to become aware of it, but we do that every Tuesday at noon. And and so it's just interesting the way that the Lord kind of puts things in their place, and and things continue to grow. And I know we're going to talk some in a minute about how you and I got together, but we can do that anytime.
I think that's a great segue into that, because it was so cool, because I was a guest on one of your shows, the musical guest, and it was delighted. I had never heard of your radio show, and you contacted me, and I was like, well, cool, this sounds like fun, and we had so much fun. And then I was actually on in a second time, which was way cool. And the second time I was on, I really took the time to go check out the whole network that you have on, you know, your whole website, and really look it over. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. And my brother, he's not my literal physical brother, but my brother of the heart, R.W. Hampton, he's like the big brother I never had.
Right.
And he told me after my late singing partner had passed away that God had a path for me that was, you know, kind of with the music but different, and that he would reveal it to me in his time. And I was like, this was right after Curly had died, and so I was really not ready to hear all of that. I was like, well, that's cool, but yeah, you know, I didn't dwell on it, I guess is what I'm saying. And then shortly after, a month or so later, the Lord laid this to do a radio show, a Christian radio show that was based but more of the Western music as opposed to the real traditional, although we do that as well. But and so, I mean, I am so technically challenged. I'm just the thought of that spooked me. And I started checking into it and getting sponsors and all of that. And so I kept doing the Moses thing, you know, Lord, are you sure you got the right girl? I don't know. It just sounds like, you know, I don't think I'm the right person for this. And so then I asked you, okay, so what about this Blog Talk Radio that hosts your site? You know, what is up with that? And
right.
tell me what you were thinking when I asked you this.
Well, it's interesting, because before I ever did Saddle Up America, for months I'd been thinking I would love to do a Sunday show, and you know, an inspirational show with the music and inspirational thoughts, and it just kind of sat there. And then you were on that show. Actually, the editor of Trailblazer, or the publisher of Trailblazer, Susanna Gibson, was on the same show. She was our second guest. And so you were our first guest. And after the show was over, I think I called to thank you for being on because you're always such a joy and grateful that at that show you weren't at an airport as you were the first time you were on the show.
With all the announcements in the background.
That's right. Melinda Gale, your plane is now boarding. You know, it's just kind of stuff. But yeah, it was pretty interesting because I had that thought, and then in some way, and again, the Lord works in such mysterious ways, but he has a plan. And during that conversation, you and I were on the same page. And it was like, yeah, we can do this. And you were like, well, let me think about this thing. And might have been a little bit of nudging going on to let's set the date and get going.
There was. You definitely got me off high center. It's like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it. And so I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute, is this, okay, I got to do this. And so then I'm like, well, what about this? What about sponsors? What about, all of the barriers that I had thought I had run into to make this happen. And you basically just swept all those away, or I should say the Lord did. And it's like, because I really felt like the Lord was saying to me, okay, everything that you said is why you couldn't do the radio show. It's all fixed. So now what's your excuse? So it was pretty wonderful. You made it just so easy and so perfect, and so this has been a wonderful gift into my life, Gary, to be able to do this show, and I'm having so much fun.
I am as well, because you are such a joy, and you know, sitting back and kind of pushing the buttons while you're doing the heavy lifting and lining the guest up and talking with these folks. It's amazing what a gift it is to me to be able to listen to people as they give their testimony and talk about how the Lord has worked in their life. And, I know it touches me. Something in every show has had an impact. And a lot of times it's amazing how it's just at the right time, you know, something that you need to be hearing. And so, you know, I know that both of us hope that Blessed Trails is doing that to the audience, that it's helping support people.
Absolutely.
And man, at this time of the year, when people are hurting, they're remembering people that they've lost, illnesses, you know, what a blessing to be able to share you and your guest and their testimony and the music with the folks that are listening out there.
It's all about what the Lord can do through the show. And you and I talked about that from the beginning, and that's our goal, just to be the conduit for the Lord to put out there whatever needs to be put out at its perfect time. So, yeah, it's really, really cool. So I'm excited and very grateful to be part of your radio family. So this is very, very fun, and it is fun to have you on. It really is.
Well, thanks, and you're certainly a blessing in my life. I tell you, you really are. You really are.
Well, you said you wanted to talk to about a song that I have on my new album that you were wanting to ask me about.
Well, I do have. There's a song. Granite Mountain, of course, was the WMA Album of the Year for everybody.
It was. I'm very honored by that.
And so we're just tickled to death that people recognize that and you received that award among many that you've received. But there's a song on that one called White Women's Clothes. And we just haven't had the right time for me to be able to ask about the song, how it came about, and then for people to listen to it. So how did that come about? And let's let people listen to it.
Well, I'll do the Reader's Digest version because it's quite a story behind it, but it was written by Andy Wilkinson, who is a descendant of Charlie Goodnight. If people are familiar with the old cattle drive trails, one of the famous ones, of the three or four really famous ones, one of them was the Goodnight Lovin' Trail, and that was Oliver Lovin and Charles Goodnight. And Charles Goodnight actually invented the chuck wagon, which was the first one was built in Weatherford, Texas, so he designed it. And they started calling it Charles's Wagon, and then Chuck's Wagon, and then eventually became the Chuck Wagon. So that's how that kind of evolved. But he was such a pivotal, important part of that era. His great-great-great-nephew, Andy Wilkinson, was a wonderful singer-songwriter, and he decided to do an entire album dedicated to his uncle. And so he not only wrote about his uncle specifically, but about the era. It was his heyday of these cattle drives. And one of the stories that he ran across was for Cynthia Ann Parker, who was kidnapped by the Comanche when she was 9 years old and raised and adopted into the tribe. She ultimately married a very famous and great war chief. She had three children, two boys and a girl, the daughter being the youngest. Her oldest son, Quanah Parker, went on to be the last great war chief of the Comanche tribe. And she was rescued, shall we say, when she was an adult woman in her late 30s by some marshals and some Texas Rangers and some actually not Rangers but Texas Marshals they called them and some cavalrymen. But they discovered their village in the winter, wiped everybody out except her because they could see that she was white. Didn't realize she had the baby wrapped up in her buffalo robes. Figured out who she was on the way back to civilization. Made her change into dresses at the first village, which the town that they came to, which she hated. Let her keep her baby, thank God. Got her back to her family, but not before they drug her through every town they could, you know, get within to brag how they had rescued her. And then she spent the rest of her life trying to get back to her Comanche family. Her little girl, of course, didn't survive very, very long in the white man's world. She had no defenses against her diseases. And he decided it was such a tragic story that he decided to write this song to try to capture that last period in her life. And it's just a very powerful song. It's been around for a while, but nobody's been singing it recently, so I decided to resurrect it and put it on this last album.
Well, it is a great song, so let's listen to it. White Women's Clothes.
Okay.
And it's from Granite
Thank you
Mountain.
For asking about it.
No, it's great.
In the moon you call December, on the river you call the peace. It was cold, and I remember we had just packed up to leave. When I mounted a line of soldiers, a sparkle in the sun, rode down upon our warriors and shot them one by one. Now the ponies of our women, they were loaded down and slow, with their lodge poles and equipment and the meat of our buffalo. So the cowards of your cavalry, when all the fight was o'er, killed the women and their babies, except for me and Prairie Flower. White man's liberation took me from my home to the prison of his houses and his white women's clothes. You could see my hair was flaxen, you could see my eyes were blue, that my skin was white and ashen, or you would have shot me too. But you could not see the baby that I cradled in my robes, a small red skin Comanche, the color of my soul. White man's liberation took me from my home to the prison of his houses in his white women's clothes. Dressed up for your amusement in your used and second hand, you parade me through your settlements and you call me Cynthia Ann. In these walls I'm suffocating where the blows, and my heart is strangulating in these white women's clothes. White man's liberation took me from my home to the prison of his houses and his white women's clothes. White man's liberation took me from my home to the prison of his houses.
you know, I've got Cherokee blood, and some of my family traveled down the Trail of Tears and ended up in Oklahoma from this.
Wow.
So this is pretty cool. But, you know, it's kind of funny. We have a lot of guests that are on the different shows, and we talked about Quanah Parker, and I did a trail trivia on Saddle Up America. So one of the trail trivia questions had to do with who was the Goodnight Loving Trail named after, and who was the Good Knight. And so we opened the lines up for answers, and somebody called in and said, Julie Goodnight. Now, Julie is a well-known clinician in the horse world today, but that was not...
A little before her time.
I said, a few, 100 years, 100 years before Julie came along.
100 years
but anyway,
off, give or take.
Yeah, yeah, I had to share that. Was not named after Julie Goodnight. Yeah.
Named after, well, that wasn't real. I always feel kind of sorry for the audience when I do this song, because it's like, it's a great song and you want to clap, but it's such a sad song that you're like, I don't really don't want to clap for this. So it's always kind of crazy, but I always try to follow it with something fun just to try to, but it's an amazing story. And I'm reading a book now, Something of the Summer Moon. I'm escaping me right now, but it's the story of the Comanche and just their reign in the Midwest and the rise and fall of Quanah Parker and the whole her story, and it's fascinating. So, Empire of the Summer Moon, that's what it's called. It's a great book if anybody's interested in finding out more about that kind of thing. So,
well, I'll have to check that out. You know, it's kind of interesting because. You know, we've tried to convert people to our lifestyle and way of life, and we tried to do that with the Indians, with the Native Americans, and that was kind of a sad period, I think, in our history all the way through.
Yes.
But it's kind of the way that people are in religion sometimes. You know, if you're not on our page, let's convert you, or you're just totally wrong. And I don't think that's necessarily the way that we should practice our Christianity.
I always like to go back to reading the New Testament, and especially as with Jesus was walking the earth, and then what his apostles did when he was, you know, resurrected. And you look at what he did, and he just taught about loving each other, how to live our lives, and I didn't find any place in the Bible, except when he turned the tables over in the temple, because the money changers had turned, you know, God's house into a den of thieves. Did he ever beat anybody down or berated or belittled anyone? You know, people that deserved to be berated and belittled, he loved them and he met them where they were, and then let the Holy Spirit bring them along to where they needed to be. And that is, I think, the role of the Holy Spirit, is to do that work. It's not our job to do that work or to try to do that work in someone's life. That's when we drive them away. So,
absolutely.
So I'm very much on the same page with you there. We need to let God do what he planned to do and not get in his way.
That's right.
My biggest challenge in life is to stay out of God's way. Jump in. Oh yeah, I know where you're going. I'm going to go there first.
yeah. Well, it's again, he has ways that he leads us, and it leads us to things like blessed trails, and you know, not anything that was planned, but he put everything in place to get us to where we are today. And I remember my brother saying one time, I think we were at the trail ride for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. He said, you know, I said, it's because the radio, you know, this radio program got us to this point. And he said, well, really, he said, it's because of me, because I connected you to Lance. And I said, well, no, I said, really, it's because of Dad, because he instilled the love of horses, which is what caused all of this to happen. So, God has his way of putting things in place, and we just have to follow his lead. You know, when he opens the door, we need to be bold enough to walk through it. So,
right, and that definitely is our challenge as Christians, and just to let him pull all those threads together. You know, it's not our job to do that. It just all comes together when in his timing. And it's so true. And a thing that kind of leads into this next song that I'm wanting to do. This is another one off of my Granite Mountain CD, but I really love this song. It's a true story that Joyce Woodson wrote about one of her fans that wrote in, and she inspired his story, inspired her to write this song. And to me, it's just the epitome of just doing the right thing, doing a good thing with no expectation of anything in return, and how the Lord takes those kinds of actions, you know, that just and turns them into something beautiful and long-lasting, and the ripple effect of these kindnesses, you know, these random acts of kindness, if you will, and just, you know, trying to be the best you can be and let the Lord do the rest. It kind of really just speaks to that. And it's just the coolest song. So it's called He Sang For Me, that Joyce Woodson, the same one who wrote Palomino Pal, wrote this song. So I really would love to listen to this before we run out of time, and we can talk a little bit about it afterwards. If you want to go ahead and run, He Sang For Me.
All right.
In and out of hospitals, the days wore on. And someone came to visit one rainy afternoon and changed my life with a song. I knew that day was special, and the nurses fussed about all us kids. We didn't know what to expect. He walked in with his guitar, no one made a sound. And he came and he sat down on my bed, and he sang for me. He sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. Were a pair. Though the room was full of kids in the hospital that day, he shook my hand and winked and said, "Put her there." Then he sang for me. He sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. And that day is with me still. I sing for kids in hospitals today. Though I don't have a horse, this old wheelchair gets me round. I've kept his picture he gave to me that day when he sang for me. He sang for me. When he sang for me.
Oh, my gosh. I was so delighted that she let me be the first one to record it. But isn't that a wonderful song, Gary?
It is a terrific song, and the whole album, the whole CD is just terrific. And you've got a couple of songs on there, Shenandoah, that just blows me away when I hear you sing that. And then Until Then is one that can bring tears to your eyes. And, of course, that's that Stuart Hamblin song, isn't it?
That is. It absolutely is. And then my little puppy got named after one song.
Yeah, Apache Rose.
Apache Rose, yeah. We'll have to talk about that on another show. But it was fun. Actually, one of my fans has suggested when I told him I was getting this new puppy, I just had to figure out a name for her. And they emailed me, duh, Apache Rose. And I went, oh, that works. So she's Apache Rose. And so we're having a lot of her. She's been a good girl. She's sleeping through the whole show. So no barking so far. So we're good.
She's a cutie. She's a cutie.
She is. So tell us, Gary, what is your vision going forward with this radio station, this whole network that you have going on here? What do you see happening?
Well, we'd like to continue to expand our audience. You know, right now we've got folks that are listening throughout the U.S. and in over 50 countries.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting. And, you know, the European audience really enjoys listening to the stories of the West and the Western music and about horses. And so we want to expand that. Your good friend, Bobby Jean Bell, is going to join us on Thursday, beginning January the 8th, to co-host the Campfire Cafe with me. And so I'm excited about that.
She's so delightful. I'm very excited about that partnering. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun to have a co-host, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, all of the shows that we do, we hope that we are informing people. We hope we're entertaining people, and we hope that we're blessing folks' lives. We've done stories on the different shows where we talk with ordinary people that are doing extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. One lady that works with the Oglala Lakota Sioux in the Dakotas, she goes up and does mission work with the horses and helps the abused women and kids up there. And folks that are traveling across the country, you know, women that are riding 1,300 miles on horseback, just them and their horse. And so fascinating stories that we love to share. And then, of course, the testimony and the great music on Blessed Trails. And, you know, maybe there's another show in the works in 2015. I wish I were younger and this technology existed earlier. But, you know, that's something else that we may look at. So, and we're looking at different ways to grow our audience through some other media as well. So it's an exciting time, and we're looking forward to 2015.
It is. Well, I mean, I'm just so stunned at how on top of this technology you are, Gary. And I mean, I think you diminish how good you are with this stuff. But you already have a little QR code that people can scan and download an app to their mobile devices so they can listen to this on the go. I mean, it's just, and everything is archived, all of the shows, so people can go back and listen to anything they want to whenever it's convenient for them, not when the new show airs each week, but whenever it's convenient for them. And I just think this is a wonderful thing that you've created here, and I'm just delighted to be part of the family.
Well, we're excited about you being with us. And, yeah, somebody told me, for an old guy, you're not too bad with some of this stuff. But, you know, I'm still learning. And, that mobile app, you know, for folks that are listening, it's free. And you go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and you can download the mobile app. Right now, I know we have people that are using it in 6 different countries. And so wherever you are traveling, you know, you can take Equestrian Legacy Radio, all of our programs with you, and listen to them at any time. So this show, after it airs in about 15 minutes, it's available from now on for people to go back and listen to. And, you know, a lot of our audience at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, maybe they're already at worship services. Or at noon, they may be at work or not able to listen. So we have I guess most of our audience listens to the archive podcast, and they're real easy to go back and find. So, you know, it's kind of exciting. The website is equestrianlegacy.net, not Equestrian Legacy Radio, because we may even look at doing some streaming TV as we go into 2015. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, a lot of stuff we'd like to do. Yeah, it's just exciting. Yeah, and
only the Lord knows where it's actually going, is it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just kind of leave it to him, because he opens up the doors as he's ready for them to be opened, and we just have to be ready to step through those things. So I know it's a blessing to me and our audience to have you as part of our family, and so we just love you and look forward to meeting you and Bob in person. That'd be kind of nice.
We need to make that happen. We sure need to make that happen.
We will.
Thank you so much. So much for being on the show today, Gary. And I know I kind of caught you out of left field. You weren't expecting that. So it was very gracious of you to agree. And let me flip the tables on you a little bit. And I think it's been really fun. I hope the audience has enjoyed learning more about the whole Equestrian Legacy Network and where we're going and what we're about, and wonderful things for the new year. Just so grateful for you being with us.
Well, thanks, Belinda. Look forward to every one of your shows and look forward to talking with you real soon. So thanks for inviting me today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right.
Well,
bye-bye.
We're going to go ahead and close with that. Thank you. And bye-bye. We're going to go ahead and close with the scripture. And as I was thinking about this new year, I was thinking about, you know, new beginnings. And that's one of the fun things about the new year, is that it's fresh and new. And you can kind of start all over. We can actually start all over every day. But it seems to be, especially as a new year begins, we're ready to, you know, do things differently this year. And so there's just a couple of scriptures I'd like to share with you really quickly. The first one is in Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So he plans for our well-being. He plans to take care of us and not to, for evil not to be there, and to give us a future and a hope. What a wonderful clear for this new year. And I know there's so many certain and things that are going on in the world, but remember then in Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, but behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So these wonderful new plans that he has for you, he will pave the way. He will make the way. He will bring the people into your lives and set you on those paths. If you're just sensitive to his spirit, and staying in the word is a good way to be sensitive to his spirit. And if you're fearful of what could be coming up this next year, just remember Psalm 91:7-8, that says, "A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked." So if you stay close to the Lord, he will protect you and guide you through all of those landmines that are out there, out in the world, that are to ensnare and entrap us. And so just look ahead, trust that the Lord knows what's ahead, and that he will guide us through as we need to walk these difficult paths and look into the blessings that he has for us. And so until next week, I just want to wish you all blessed trails, and we'll talk to you next week.
My poor mind cannot grasp their array, but the hand that placed them there, far across the wide heaven, had a plan when he placed them that way. Known only to him are the great
I'll fear not the dark.